It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week 11 in the National Football League, and you have come to your one-stop shop to make sure you're ready, whether it's for your redraft league and how to set your lineups this week, who to start, who to sit, or whether you're playing daily fantasy like at DraftKings, you want to make sure you have the best plays possible. He's really the star of the show. His name is Evan Silva from rotoworld.com. You can follow him like I do on Twitter, at Evan Silva. I'm Ross Tucker. It's year two for me in the fantasy football world. Before that, I just played in the NFL for 7 years. No big deal. Just 7 years in the NFL. Five teams. Anyway, I'm loving this podcast. It helps me tremendously with my teams, my fantasy knowledge, and I'll sprinkle in some thoughts as we move along. Speaking of the Twitter handles, mine's at Ross Tucker NFL, and Brian, our esteemed producer, is at RTF Podcast. We very much appreciate any time you guys give us a retweet. If you're a Facebook person, you can just do facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL and give me a like when I post this podcast. We all do that. It all counts. Also, if you ever have specific questions, you can just forward an email or send an email right to me, ross@rostucker.com. And if you're forwarding a sponsor confirmation, we'll ask them on the very next podcast. One question, Evan, we ask each and every week. You are typically very, very good at it. With four teams on byes, we once again need some good quarterback streaming options this week. Who you got?
Yeah, and there are actually a lot of good options for streamers this week. We have a bunch of new quarterbacks playing. We got Romo back against Miami. If he was on the waiver wire, he's, you know, an easy pickup. I know that he's owned in over 60% of Yahoo leagues. So, you know, people already are on to him, but some people aren't. So grab him. Sanchez against Tampa Bay. Mark Sanchez from weeks 10 through 17 in Chip Kelly's offense last year was the number 8 overall cumulative fantasy quarterback during that span. And he gets to get his first start in at home against a pretty weak Buccaneers pass defense. I mean, they're bottom 3 in passer rating allowed. So Sanchez is pretty much a plug and play, a guy who I would expect has some short term success. And then his limitations, you know, eventually kind of come to the surface. That's usually how NFL backups, how it works with NFL backups. And that's what Mark Sanchez is. Matthew Stafford versus Oakland, the Raiders Lions game has a 48-point total, which is pretty aggressive. This game will be played in a dome. The Raiders have not rushed the passer well already this season, just lost Aldon Smith. Their secondary is very obviously pretty weak. And, you know, Matthew Stafford has been a roller coaster ride for sure. But when we've when we've offered him up as a streamer, he's come up pretty big for us. So going back to that well. And then if all those guys are owned for some reason, which Sanchez in particular should not be owned, but Brock Osweiler is not a terrible option, I don't think, against the Bears. And Case Keenum, if you want to go YOLO, you know, Case Keenum against the Ravens.
What does that mean, YOLO?
You only live once.
I've never heard that before. When you said YOLO, I was thinking of the tie that Philip Rivers wears sometimes.
No.
You only live once. Oh, my God. That made my day. I needed that, dude. Not that I'm in a bad mood, but, oh, I needed that. If you want to go YOLO, dude, I'm going to use that so many times moving forward. It's not even funny. If you want to go YOLO, you got to go with Case Keenum. Unbelievable. But not, Evan, as unbelievable as how annoying it is to stand in line at the post office, right? I mean, everybody, YOLO. Why would you stand and waste time in the post office? YOLO. You go use stamps.com instead. Stamps.com, you can do it from your house. Save yourself time and money. I mean, YOLO. Stamps.com. We use stamps.com on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. If someone spreads the word via social media, I will send them something autographed memorabilia in the mail using stamps because YOLO. 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer includes postage and a digital scale. All you have to do is go to stamps.com, use our promo code fantasy. Again, life is too short to go to the post office. YOLO. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in fantasy. That's stamps.com. Enter fantasy. Let's roll, bro.
Next meal.
Tennessee is at Jacksonville. It's Thursday night football. You know what's hilarious, by the way, Evan? So these advertisers, you know, somebody cuts the reads and then listens to them, right? To make sure we're actually doing them and I'm saying what they want me to say. Mm-hmm. I have a great mental image of that person Googling YOLO. That's amazing. Tennessee is at Jacksonville. Curious to get your thoughts on this game, really for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even though it's not, you know, like a sexy game from a real life standpoint, although Jacksonville is still very much in the mix in the AFC South, but I guess everybody is still in the mix in the AFC South. I think that there are some good fantasy plays in this game. The Titans' pass defense has not been as good recently. Blake Bortles has multiple touchdown passes in 7 of his 9 games. You know, so at this point, he's pretty much an every week fantasy starter. He got good news that Allen Hurns is going to play despite an early week scare that he may need sports hernia surgery. He's going to delay that until after the season. Allen Hurns has been a touchdown scoring machine. Allen Robinson is, you know, one of the best young wide receivers in football. Really nothing to fear in the Titans secondary from a matchup standpoint. They lost Jason McCourty to injured reserve, and he was the guy that they would sometimes assign to number one wide receivers. Julius Thomas has been a huge, huge, huge disappointment. And right now he is basically nothing more than a tight end streamer. Just not a great fantasy play. On Tennessee's side, the Jaguars have a really, really good run defense. Over the past 4 games, they're allowing like an average of under 3 yards a carry. They're number 2 in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA, which is an efficiency stat. You don't want to mess around with Antonio Andrews this week. The only running back I might look at would be Dexter McCluster. And then I think Mariota is an okay play. The Jaguars' weakness is their pass D. They don't have great secondary play. They don't really get after the passer. You know, I would expect a lot of Mariota to Delaney Walker. The guy who's interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah.
On this podcast, his name is Delaney. YOLO.
Delaney. That's right. Okay. The guy who's interesting, he's coming off a catchless week 10. He only saw 2 targets. Did not catch the football. Dorial Green Beckham, with Justin Hunter out for the season, I think he will have to be a 70-75% player. And then there's no Kendall Wright either. So I think that we should see a lot of Dorial Green Beckham in this game. But it is also worth noting that the interim coach, Mike Mularkey, basically called out Dorial Green Beckham in the media this week for causing a Mariota interception last week. That's a little bit concerning. I mean, You know, would they bench him for Rico Richardson for a game? You know, I don't really know. Like, coaches do things to try to motivate young players and try to get them to wake up. And Dorial Green-Beckham is just a boomer bust guy this week. But I think that there is some chance that he could have a big game.
Yeah, he's definitely boomer bust. I think I told you this, but I did a couple Titans games this year, and they were telling me he has trouble, you know, even getting lined up. I mean, the guy did not play college football last year. He basically at Missouri would just run a nine route, and they would just throw it to him, and he would jump over the dude's head, and we'll move on.
Next meal.
The Colts are in Atlanta, Evan. This is the AFC Fantasy Feast. We will then record the NFC, which will be available after midnight tonight, so we don't mess with your podcast apps. Colts with Hasselbeck going against the Falcons. Who gets a bump, or does it help anybody? Who does it hurt? Tell me about Hasselbeck instead of Luck.
Well, we've seen Matt Hasselbeck make two spot starts, and in those games, the Colts, of course, their offensive coordinator was different at the time, but I don't think that they would change this. The Colts were very, very committed to feeding Frank Gore. He had 22 touches in both of those games. This is a game that, you know, I don't know that it's a game where either team is going to like run away on the scoreboard, and therefore, you know, the Colts should be able to stay committed to him in the passing game. The Colts were very, you know, they really emphasized getting the ball out of Matt Hasselbeck's hands quickly. And Matt Hasselbeck, although his physical skills are almost non-existent at this point, he, you know, he's smart and he's aware of his own limitations. So he can be effective and move the ball, I think, in a game like this offensively, where, you know, against a team that doesn't really rush the passer great in Atlanta, you know, just doesn't have a whole lot of talent on defense. I think that their defense has been okay because they play sound fundamentally, but they, you know, they don't have a lot of talent on D. I went back and looked at all the numbers and the usage for, you know, all the Colts receivers and tight ends. I mean, it's just, it's really hit or miss with Hasselbeck in there. The only guy who's been somewhat consistent has been T.Y. Hilton, you know, in those two starts. But he runs most of his routes at left cornerbacks. So he's going to be going up against Desmond Trufant quite a bit. You know, Moncrief is more of a downfield guy, and Hasselbeck isn't really a downfield thrower. So, you know, Moncrief is a boomer bust guy, I think. Fleener had a big game when Dwayne Allen was out in week four and Hasselbeck started. But then when Dwayne Allen came back, Fleener did nothing the next game in week five with Hasselbeck under center. So I don't even think the tight ends are options. And then Andre Johnson had a goose egg in Hasselbeck's first start. And then everybody saw on Thursday night that Andre Johnson had six catches for 77 yards and two touchdowns. And, you know, some people may be hanging their hat on that. I don't really know. I mean, Andre Johnson has topped 50 yards one time all season. Not a real strong fantasy option.
No. Let's move on.
Next meal.
The Rams are in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. We don't care about the Rams until we record the NFC podcast, although you already said Case Keenum is your streamer for this week. YOLO! Ravens, Chris Givens going against his former Chris Givens revenge game. Huge day for Chris Givens revenge game.
I don't know. When you played, were you like, oh man, this is a Ross Tucker revenge game?
I wouldn't say it like that, but I would think in my mind during the week, I would daydream about how I could potentially like run a linebacker into the old coach or offensive line coach's legs, whoever cut me.
So it's real. So the revenge.
Oh, heck
is real.
Yeah, man. You're not. Now he got traded, which is a little different. He didn't get cut. So that's a little bit different. They, you know, they drafted him. They didn't cut him. But yeah, the teams that cut me. Oh, heck yeah, man. I mean, they got fired, dude. I mean, if you got fired by Roto World, and you know you're playing dodgeball against Roto World, wouldn't you want to peg those dudes in the head? Yes, you would.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I never put myself in those shoes.
Correct.
So,
what do you got for the Ravens? How about
so
Forsett? Tell me about Forsett and Givens and Kamar Aiken.
Well, I think that from a matchup perspective, I think that the Rams struggles defensively last week, and I mean, I didn't see them happening in from a foresight perspective, but I think that they're legitimate. They're missing Chris Long. Robert Quinn has been totally ineffective due to a knee injury. I think he only played like 15 snaps last week. Alec Ogletree was the key to their pass coverage against tight ends. They've been getting shredded by tight ends. Last week we saw Zach Miller, the Bears' backup tight end, go off. I mean, that's been happening now here for an extended stretch against tight ends versus the Rams. Now they're going on the road. You know, they're not quite as good on the road, and their personnel is not that strong right now. It really is not. So I still don't think this is a great matchup for Forsett, but I think you feel a lot better right now about it than you did 2 weeks ago. Kamar Aiken, even as the Rams played fairly poorly defensively, just gave up a ton of chunk plays last week to the Bears, they primarily came via the running backs and the tight ends, you know, in the middle of the field. And they gave up nothing on the perimeter. And I think that their cornerbacks have played pretty darn well this year. So not really expecting a big game from Kamar Aiken, but look, the dude is this Joe Flacco's number one wide receiver right now. He was targeted 14 times last week. Chris Givens is very clearly the Ravens' number two wideout. And he's going to be, you know, a very volatile guy week to week because he has deep speed, but he doesn't do a whole lot else. So I do think Chris Givens is worth a roster spot. I don't think this is a great matchup for him. Kamar Aiken is going to have to do it on volume this week, and I don't think it's a great spot for him.
All right.
Oh, I should say that I like Crockett Gilmore in that game as a streamer. He was good last week as well.
So Crockett Gilmore is a streamer?
At tight end, yes.
Got it. YOLO. How about the Broncos in Chicago? Now, typically, I've talked before about the first start boost for a backup quarterback because, number one, the offensive coordinator usually pares down everything, simplifies it, has a smaller game plan that makes it more conducive to the quarterback doing well, and the other team doesn't know what he can do. But this is kind of weird because John Fox and Adam Gase know Brock Osweiler's weaknesses better than anybody.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. It seemed like Kubiak loved Brock Osweiler almost from the get-go. There were rumors that they wanted to extend his contract very early in OTA season. I think they've kind of wanted to play him here for a while. And I think that if he does play well, he will keep the starting job. You know, I don't think they'd throw Peyton Manning back in. It will all come down to Brock Osweiler's performance. The Bears just, you know, they're another team kind of like the Falcons, just not great personnel on defense, but they don't like get their ass kicked every week. You know, they're fairly competitive. They don't get destroyed. You know, they're not like the Saints.
So who do you think gets a boost, and who do you think gets hurt, if anybody, with Osweiler filling in for Peyton?
Just based on what happened last week, I would feel pretty good about Demaryius Thomas. Osweiler came off the bench last week, attempted 24 throws. 7 of them went to Demaryius. Completed 6 of them for like 60 yards. I mean, it was garbage time, you know. But it seemed like Osweiler knew where to throw the football. And so that was nice. And then the running back situation, you know, Hillman has started to inch ahead a little bit. But you know, that we, as we've seen, that can change, and it doesn't seem like they're committed to either guy. You know, Ronnie Hillman has a little bit more fantasy value and is like a flex play against the Bears.
All right, let's move on.
Next meal.
How about Oakland in Detroit? The Raiders kind of got slowed down a little bit by the Vikings, and the Lions just locked down the Packers, which makes this one maybe a little interesting.
Yeah, and this is a 1 o'clock game, I believe, on, you know, basically yes, on the East Coast in Detroit, which historically, you know, the Raiders have not shown up for, but the Raiders are actually kind of okay this year, you know, and I'm not sure that, I mean, losing Aldon Smith, who had, I think, 36 quarterback pressures, second on the team behind Khalil Mack, who's got like 40, that, you know, that may actually come back to help the Raiders passing game. The Raiders passing game is, you know, in a great spot. I know that the Lions played pretty well coming off their bye against Aaron Rodgers, but I think that a lot more to do with the problems that the Green Bay offense is experiencing right now. And I think that this is still a defense that is very, very exploitable through the air, particularly Derek Carr is, I mean, he's a stud. You know, every single week it's been happening for him. I'll be interested to see how the Lions match up from a wide receiver cornerback standpoint. Darius Slay has been playing really, really good football recently. He's actually the number two overall cornerback at Pro Football Focus over the past five weeks. And they've been using him to shadow number ones. So, and he shadowed Jeremy Maclin in the London game, held him to three catches for 35. And then he was on James Jones last week, and James Jones had zero catches on two targets. Davante Adams, of course, had that terrible game where he had 21 targets and like an under 80 yards. So I think that we may see Darius Slay on Amari Cooper, which would give Michael Crabtree an amazing matchup. Latavius Murray has one touchdown over his last six games, and the Lions have given up the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. So I think that this is a matchup that could start, that could get Latavius Murray going as well. I expect the Raiders to perform well offensively in this game, and I think it could be a shootout in the dome.
All righty, let's do it.
Next meal.
We got two AFC teams in this one. The Jets, after their disappointing performance last Thursday against the Bills, and the Houston Texans, who just were on fire Monday night with that one decent pass from T.J. Yates to DeAndre Hopkins. That was a crazy catch by DeAndre Hopkins. This does not feel like a high-scoring game to me, Evan.
No, me neither. I don't know if Hoyer's going to play. For Hopkins owners, it's nice to see Yates throwing that TD, but now he's got to deal with Darrell Revis. Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington become a little interesting because of that, and but the thing is that we don't really know like where the ball is going to go, because Nate Washington has destroyed in games where Cecil Shorts has been inactive, and then in games where Nate Washington has been inactive, Cecil Shorts has been really good, but they're both going to be active. And when that has happened, neither of them have done much. So I don't know. I think one of those guys is probably going to have a solid game, but I can't really pretend to know who it's going to be.
So I should add too, but based on right now, it does not look like Hoyer's going to play. So okay, it does look like it will be T.J. Yates. As for the Jets, I mean, just unbelievable, right? Hoyer doesn't play, T.J. Yates, and then for the Jets, Fitzpatrick, oh, no big deal, just had thumb surgery on Friday. Chris Ivory, though, I thought looked pretty good last Thursday night, Evan, thankfully, after whatever it was, a three-week hiatus.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And he, you know, and now he's got the 10-day layoff, which people were speculating that his previous struggles were due to, you know, wear and tear or injuries. So now he's got a big, long layoff, and that's nice. The Texans have been playing awesome defense recently, though. You remember they got absolutely torched in that week 7 or 8 game against Miami early in the game. Well, over their last 10 quarters, the Texans haven't given up a single touchdown. You know, they held Cincinnati to 2 field goals, and the game before, Tennessee's Zach Mettenberger-led offense, which sort of doesn't count. But, I mean, they still haven't given up a touchdown there in 10 quarters. So this is not a good matchup really for Jets players, but Chris Ivory is second in the NFL in carries per game, you know, and when you get a guy like that, like he's an every week fantasy starter in season long leagues. I don't think I'd play him in DFS. The Texans perimeter cornerback play has been really strong. I mean, Kevin Johnson, I don't know if you watched that Monday night game, but Kevin Johnson basically shut down A.J. Green. I mean, that was an awesome, awesome performance by that rookie. And Jonathan Joseph is, you know, he's steady. He's not necessarily a shutdown corner, but he's steady. So I think this will be a better game inside for Eric Decker, who's been playing about 70% of his snaps in the slot, than it will be for Brandon Marshall.
Interesting. So you don't love Brandon Marshall or Chris Ivory in DFS at a place like DraftKings.com, where there's still plenty of DFS football to be played this year. If you listen to this podcast, you at least know what DraftKings is by now. But have you given it a try? Have you tested it out? You can play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Take the information you're getting from this podcast, from Evan, and put it to use. There's a million different kinds of games you can play there. They've got the 50-50, specific games, custom leagues, really whatever you want. And we'll even give you a free code. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Use promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Next meal.
The Cowboys are in Miami to take on the Dolphins. I saw the Dolphins on Sunday, Evan. Jordan Cameron, total non-factor. I don't know if he still plays for them. They try to throw the ball to Jarvis Landry a lot. They'll even hand it to him sometimes. Rishard Matthews is clearly their second target. They hit him on a couple slants. I have no idea why they didn't throw the ball to Lamar Miller every play. Michael Kendricks was covering him man-to-man because it was just such a mismatch. Lamar Miller, I don't think people know how good Lamar Miller, how talented I think he really is. I mean, you look at his yards per carry. You look at him run routes. You look at him catch passes. And then Jay Ajayi comes in. I think his first two runs against the Eagles were both over 20 yards. So I would expect more Ajayi, and if they're smart, more Lamar Miller in the passing game.
Yeah, I like it. And, hey, by the way, I was driving on Sunday, and I was listening to you on the radio call the Miami-Philly game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Great job, Ross. Seriously, I mean, sometimes these color guys are really, really bad, but you were awesome. So great job.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. YOLO, you know?
I know.
Anyway, what do you got on the Dolphins against the Cowboys? Cowboys D has been pretty good.
I think you summed it up pretty well, you know? The Cowboys defense – all right, go ahead and say what you're going to say. Sorry.
No, that's all I was going to – I already said my piece on the Dolphins.
I think that I pretty much agree with everything you say. I mean, I think Jay Ajayi he's a guy to stash on your bench for the fantasy playoffs. If something happens to Lamar Miller, and you got Jay Ajayi on your bench, you don't have to go fight for other people on waivers for him. He could be a league winner down the stretch. And he may also have use in a flex spot because he's good and they're going to want to get him the rock.
All right, let's move on then.
Next meal.
Chiefs and the Chargers. Pretty remarkable how consistent a guy I had never heard of before the year, Charcandrick West, has been in Kansas City. Also pretty amazing that they still cannot really score touchdowns with him, Travis Kelce, Jeremy Maclin, but they're going against the Chargers defense, Evan, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, this should be a really good spot for Charcandrick. I know it sort of feels like chasing points, and I wish that Charcandrick would have had a slow week 10 because his ownership in DFS would have been much, much smaller than it will be this week, and his price would have been cheaper too. His price still isn't that bad, though, and this is, the ultimate matchup for running backs. The Chargers give up the most fantasy points in the league to that position. The Chiefs are, they're using Charcandrick West like Jamal Charles. I was skeptical at the start that they could make that work, and I thought that they'd have to, eventually turn to Nile Davis. But Nile Davis is now a healthy scratch, and Spencer Ware actually is Charcandrick West's backup. If you're in a deeper league, I think you should grab Spencer Ware because, these running backs produce in Andy Reid's offense. We've seen that, for a long, long time. So if something happened to Charcandrick, Spencer Ware would be the first guy up. It's the same old story with Travis Kelce. He is a great talent. They don't really like push the ball to him aggressively, especially in the red zone. They just don't like they. It feels like when you're watching their games that they call more red zone plays for Dat, D'Anthony Thomas than they do for Travis Kelce, which is frustrating. But Travis Kelce on the year is a top six fantasy tight end at a really weak position. And this is, he's facing a weak defense now, and you're going to be starting him. Maclin will probably be shadowed in this one by Jason Verrett, who's been good, but also seems like he can't make it through a full game without leaving injured. Just has had a lot of injuries. And the Chiefs move around Maclin a lot anyways. So I think that this is a game where he should bounce back pretty nicely. But Charcandrick is one of the top plays of the week for sure against a really weak San Diego D.
San Diego offensively, I mean, it goes without saying if you have Melvin Gordon, you're not playing him. Who are you playing?
Yeah, you're playing Rivers, although this is not – the matchup that it looked, early in the season. You remember the Chiefs were playing really weak pass D early in the year. I don't view them as that anymore. They do have good cornerback play. They do have two great outside rushers, and it was weird. They just really started painfully slowly on defense, but they have a good defense. We always knew that they had good personnel, and now they're starting to play like it. Not a great week for Phillip Rivers matchup wise, but Phillip Rivers has been so good and throws the ball so much that he's a stud in fantasy. Antonio Gates coming off the bye, that should have helped him get past any injuries that he was dealing with earlier. Stevie Johnson, I think every single week will be a candidate to lead San Diego in targets. Post Keenan Allen, Dontrell Inman becomes very interesting if Malcolm Floyd does not play. Malcolm Floyd is dealing with a shoulder injury. I've seen indications going both ways that he may not play this week based on comments from Antonio Gates, and then other indications that he will try to play, from like the Union Tribune, San Diego. So if no Malcolm Floyd, I think Dontrell Inman is is a good fantasy start, should probably see 7 to 9 targets against Kansas City.
All right.
Next meal.
Bengals at the Cardinals. It's very simple. Was Monday night a one-night off game, or was there a legitimate reason for concern across the board with Dalton, Eifert, et cetera?
I definitely think that I'm not concerned about Eifert. You know, over his previous 7 games, he only had 2 drops. He had 3 drops on Monday night, and it just seemed like a one game blip. And I do think that he will bounce back against Arizona. You know, it's likely, based on Andy Dalton's entire career, that we've seen him play the best football that he is going to play this season. But you know, I think that the Bengals will still, I think they're going to remain a team that spreads you out, you know, plays a lot in the gun. You know, they've embraced being a pass first offense. That's what they are. They don't use a fullback, you know, except for very situationally. That's a big change from last year. And, you know, I think that they're going to keep throwing it. This is a difficult spot for Cincy. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals have an amazing, I mean, they have a great pass D. They have a great run D as well. But they have playmakers in the secondary. I mean, they lead the NFL in interceptions. Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson are an awesome, you know, 1-2 punch at corner. I think the really interesting guy in this game for Cincinnati is Marvin Jones, because we are going to see Patrick Peterson on AJ Green. We'll see Tyrann Mathieu on Mohamed Sanu, and that should leave a lot of openings for Marvin Jones against Jerrod Powers and Eifert. So, you know, and then I think Gio Bernard, you know, at this point, he's such a better fit for the Bengals offense than Jeremy Hill that, I mean, I think that they should go with Giovanni Bernard as their every down back, but they don't seem to have any inclination toward that. They're going to keep rotating those guys. But Marvin Jones, from a daily fantasy standpoint, I mean, I think he could have a really big game here. He saw 9 targets on Monday night. You know, they're not afraid to feed him the rock, and he easily has the best matchup out of Cincinnati's wide receivers.
Lastly.
Next meal.
Bills, Patriots. I guess I'm more interested in the Patriots part of this. Edelman out equals, I'm assuming, more touches for Amendola. He should now be owned everywhere. Anything else noteworthy to you?
Well, I think it'll be really interesting to see how Rex Ryan attacks the Patriots offense, because, I mean, the way consistently, the way that the Patriots have always attacked Rex Ryan is with the pass. But now the Patriots are without Julian Edelman, who ripped up Buffalo in week 2. And it'll be very interesting to see how Rex, because he's a schemer. Rex is a schemer. And I think he's going to feel comfortable with Stephon Gilmore on Brandon LaFell pretty much the entire game. And I think that they'll probably, and I think that he'll anticipate that the Patriots are not even going to try to run on him at all, because the Patriots haven't done that at all in the past. And so my guess would be that he tries to take away Gronkowski, and that leaves a lot of openings for Danny Amendola. I think that Amendola might see, you know, 12 to 15 targets in this game. I mean, maybe more. I mean, Tom Brady dropped back to pass 61 times when these teams played in week 2. And, you know, I think Amendola has a great, great floor in fantasy this week, and plenty of upside with all that volume that I'd anticipate. Whether the Bills are able to take away Gronkowski, you know, that's really difficult. I mean, we've seen teams try to do that in the past and fail. So, I mean, I'm not saying to bench Gronkowski in fantasy, but I think that, the way that I would anticipate Rex approaching this game would set up really well for Danny Amendola to get a lot of work.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the AFC Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. I think everybody's expecting Amendola to get a lot of work. Appreciate those of you who give us an iTunes ranking or a comment right now if you haven't already. That is huge. And we're going to record the NFC Fantasy Feast right now so you have it after midnight. Stick a fork in us. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.